This is the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 59, and my name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in. And on this episode, I'm joined with Shamichael Hallman, and his Twitter bio says, a certified nerd, campus pastor / innovation, Twitter guy at NDCC Memphis. NDCC Memphis stands for New Direction Christian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He's a Leadership Memphis alum, a blogger, a startup newbie, and he embodies where digital and discipleship meets. And he is one of the few pastors of innovations that I have found through my research on the internet. There's just a dozen of those, and innovation being the blue sky, dreams, and visions of possibilities. It's going to look different for each of those churches. So we're going to hear a bit about the innovations that their church is thinking of, as well as a genius of an idea of how to adapt the use of technology and social media across multiple generations. And we talk about their online church campus and a couple of other things. So I'm just going to switch tracks to our conversation recorded through Google Plus Hangout on Air. So it's a little bit choppy. Sometimes it's just one of those gambles on the quality of those audios, but the quality of the content makes up more than enough for the occasional dropouts. And then on the other side of the conversation, I want to share with you a story about a Twitter chat that just blossomed over the course of a couple weeks, and then we'll close out the show. All right, so here's my conversation with Shamichael Hallman. DJ Chuang is here with Shamichael Hallman, who is over in Memphis, Tennessee, and through the beauty of technology and Google Plus Hangout, thank you for connecting us. How are you doing, Shamichael?
Man, I am wonderful. Thanks so much for having me on today with you, DJ.
And I'm thrilled to have met you in person a couple months ago at the first Leadership Network Code for the Kingdom Hackathon. And so you're a developer of software as well as the pastor of innovation there at New Direction Church.
Yeah. That was really an exciting event, man. I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to make it to the next one, man. But that was really an exciting time to be, in a building, in a space with people who are just as passionate. You know, Memphis has a pretty thriving startup community. And, I make a lot of those events, but, you know, so often they're not Christ-centered. And a lot of times you're talking a language that other people don't really understand or necessarily are excited about, man. But it was really exciting to be in that space to talk and to meet you as well. So I appreciate that opportunity.
Let's start with what you do there at New Direction Church. And in my connecting with church leaders, I've only found a dozen pastors and church leaders that have the title of innovation. So being a pastor of innovation, I would love to hear what it is that you're innovating there. How'd you get into that role?
It's really a relatively new title, something that I've kind of just been granted in the last year or so. My background, I spent about 9 years working for a regional bank here called Regions Bank, and did a lot in terms of application development, testing, and things of that nature. I was doing youth ministry kind of evenings and weekends in Birmingham, Alabama, and had a chance conversation with the leaders at New Direction here in Memphis, and I came up and interviewed, and at that time talked about leading their youth ministry and a college ministry and just kind of doing some of the technical things that they were doing with social media and just various IT projects. And it was over the last year, really in the last 9 months, have made a transition to a campus pastor for one of our locations and still having the innovation title there. So really the innovation title came about as the church was looking for a way to kind of leverage various projects they were working on. Some of that was social media. A lot of it was mobile and online in terms of podcasting and giving looking at kind of where we want to go in the future. Our pastor is really, really heavy in tech. He's always trying to figure out what's the next big thing we can do. And so on some levels, I just kind of serve as a brain dump for him to take his ideas and figure out how we can actually make it happen.
Oh, that's so awesome. So you've been in that role for about a year now. So walk us through some of the projects that you've been able to work on and launch.
The kind of major piece here recently has just been our app. We had an app that wasn't really getting much use. The adoption rate was very, very low. So really one of the first things that we did was look at that and say, okay, well, how can we increase the adoption rate of our mobile users? And so we started just doing little small things. One of the things that we did, we began setting up, you know, similar to how Apple has their Genius Bar, we set up a tech bar, and we put this outside in the lobby, in the foyer area of all of our locations. And we just simply ask people to stop by, you know, hey, we will show you how to download the app. We'll show you how to view the service. We'll show you how to check out the podcast. We'll show you how to even give online. And we went so far to say, hey, even if you would consider giving right now via our app or via our text service, you know, we'd put your name in a hat, you know, for a drawing. And that really kind of set the standard for how we start doing everything else. You know, we've been doing that for about 6 months now, and our mobile engagement has gone through the roof, man, of people who are using it, people who are comfortable using it now. And so we don't do those tech bars every Sunday now, but about once every other month or so, we'll do that, and we'll take questions about everything, you know, from our Facebook page, a Twitter page, to online and mobile giving, to apps and things of that nature.
And what a great practical idea, because most churches have multiple generations of people, and you've just taken away a hurdle by providing a real service that can help people stay connected and use the latest tools, connecting with each other and with the church. That's genius.
Yeah. So it skyrocketed our, you know, as we've looked at our online and our mobile giving over the last 9 months or so, we were seeing tremendous increases in just, you know, just being out there, just having, you know, a few iPads and a laptop out and saying, hey, come here, we'll show you how to do this. We'll walk you through it. It's really helped. And we've done kind of similar things, you know, with Facebook and with Twitter. We rely pretty heavily on Twitter during Bible study. One of the things that we've recently implemented was a pastor, with our Bible study, he will, of course, it's streamed online. And, you know, for the most part, most times when churches do that, the online audience is simply just watching what's happening in the sanctuary. They're watching the pastor preach, they're watching the choir sing, and there's very little interaction. Even if there's a campus pastor, there's still very little interaction with the actual teaching or senior pastor. And so one of the things that we've done here recently is try to be intentional about taking time where the pastor will, or during Bible study, he will take time to just focus solely on the online audience while those who are in-house are maybe pondering a question or you know, engaging in some thought that he's put out there. And so we use Twitter really heavily to facilitate those conversations, as well as, you know, kind of our existing online campus. But you know, a lot of that has just been educating some of those non-tech savvy, you know, regardless of what generation they're in, on you know, how we use hashtags, you know, and how they can interact with the pastor, regardless of where they are in the sanctuary, if they're viewing online, or if they're in the sanctuary and they just kind of way back in the back, they can't get the pastor. And you can still ask them a question just by doing, you know, some few simple things. So that's really what most of the innovation piece has just been, is just training people, getting people kind of up to speed on where we are as a staff. We're moving so fast from a technology standpoint, and a lot of it has just been, let's just get the people kind of close to where we are.
That's phenomenal. So you're using the Twitter hashtag to facilitate some Q&A during your Bible study.
Yep.
How do you handle the openness of Twitter? Because it's a global town square. Anybody could use that hashtag and put some, you know, unsavory comments in there. How do you take care of that?
Indeed, man. There are, and I'll say we haven't, you know, luckily, you know, so I'm knocking on my desk here. We haven't had, you know, a situation where someone, you know, just went out there and put something that was, you know, inappropriate or anything like that. But we do try to utilize a couple of different apps that allow for moderation, you know, in terms of what we show, what we show in house. A couple different, you know, I mean, there are a couple of web apps, and then of course the ProPresenter, the latest version of ProPresenter has a Twitter a feature in there. And so, you know, we're always mindful of what we're showing, making sure that it's not just a totally open feed that, you know, anybody can post something to. But I said, as of now, we haven't had anyone that's done anything that was, you know, moment.
Tell us a little bit about your online campus. What kind of engagement and audience are you finding there?
We are, we've been really intentional in the last probably 12 months or so in trying to figure out who our online audience is. We see over the course of two services on Sunday and then one service on Tuesday night, we see about 1,000 unique visitors. What we are noticing is that only about 35 to 40% of those viewers are within a 30-mile radius. So we've got, a lot of, it's a pretty heavy presence that's kind of spread across the country. And most of that kind of follows pastor, you know, as pastor goes to various churches and does revivals and stuff, people will begin to watch. So we've got heavy presence in cities around the South as he goes to preach. But for the 35 to 40% of people that are local, what we're seeing, DJ, is that many of the people are just kind of using it as kind of a filler to see, you know, man, do I really want to step foot in this church? Is this something that I would want to be a part of? And so that's made us really start thinking about being more deliberate in how we approach our online campus. Because for a while it was just, hey, let's put a camera up, let's stream the service just so we can say that, hey, it's, you know, we're doing it. But we are looking at different ways now of being more intentional about engaging those who do who are viewing and using it as a tool to say, hey, this is kind of what you're going to experience when you step in the door.
There was a recent article by Bruce Ray's Child, who's a pretty savvy social media driven pastor up in San Francisco. He put together a list of 25 social media channels and networks out there. So what are your thoughts on all these different channels, and how do you manage communicating with people that might be on Instagram or Google Plus? Describe a bit of your philosophy and approach to engaging with your people and the people outside of your church.
Well, we have an awesome marketing manager, and she does, a brilliant job of managing all of those. We found that most of our users are on Facebook, and then we've got, you know, another small percentage that are on Twitter. And then probably an even smaller percentage that's on Instagram. And so we try to focus on where the people are, you know, as opposed to just creating additional channel just because they're out there. We try to focus on where people are. So that's, we have a kind of, our reliance is really on Facebook and Twitter right now. So we just try to spend time on that, you know, as opposed to jumping out. Because I mean, we've tried, you know, doing some other things, you know, maybe with Tumblr, and so forth, but we weren't really seeing that there was a lot of traction there. We weren't seeing that a lot of our people were there, so we just kind of wanted to make sure we stayed in the place where they were.
Yeah, and what is your content strategy to engage with people?
It's pretty heavy. Throughout the week, it's pretty heavy in terms of doing daily devotionals. Our pastor every day does a daily devo, so we make sure that gets out. We try to be intentional about pulling snippets from his Sunday service, Sunday sermons and his Tuesday night sermons, and, you know, putting those back out there so people know that, getting them information as to where they can get, you know, books and CDs, things that maybe he's mentioned in his sermon. And then, of course, you know, just kind of asking people, you know, what's going on with them, you know, asking people, how can we pray for them? ask them what's going on in their life. You know, are they aware that we've got, you know, counseling services, you know, for various addictions and things like that. So we try to make sure it's two way. But in terms of content, it's pretty much, you know, it pretty much focuses on things that pastor has taught or preached on, you know, books that he's taught on, books that maybe he's written. That's really where our focus is. And then kind of a small percentage of actually talking about, hey, service, inviting people out to service and service sound and things like that.
Yeah, and your pastor, Stacy Spencer, is a very compelling communicator and great Bible teacher, so very inspirational. And your church was featured in the local news. I was doing some research about what was going on over there at New Direction, and you were featured about how your virtual church was ministering to someone who experienced a miracle. Can you describe that story? I'm going to add a link in the show notes, of course.
Yeah, so it was a gentleman, and I'll try to get that link to you. We've got it somewhere. A gentleman who lived in Memphis. He was a member of the church, and one day he was driving down the interstate, ended up having to help a friend change a tire. And in the process, he got struck by another car. He got kind of pinned underneath a car, and it was so severe that he ended up losing both of his legs. And so as he was spending time in the hospital and in rehab, he was actually watching us online because he couldn't get, you know, to church. And people, you know, we've got a pretty awesome group of people who are dedicated to making sure that our online experience is welcoming, you know, that we welcome people, that we let them know, hey, thanks for joining us. If there's anything we can do, here's an email address, here's a phone number. And so our online campus pastor did an awesome job of just staying in touch with this gentleman, you know, loving on him and praying for him. And this guy is now on fire. He's more excited now about his faith post-accident than he ever was, and he attributes that to just that online presence.
Wow, what a great story. So virtual church, online church can really make a difference in people's lives, and you know, we have a great example right there. Now, yeah, for churches that don't have a pastor of innovation and don't have someone to build their own apps, what can they do to better use technology and social media?
I think you just kind of figure out, you know, where you want to go, what would you like to achieve, and, you know, and take small steps. Certainly, I think, you know, the social media route is probably the easiest entry point, you know, setting up, you know, a page or a community. There are, you know, tons of developers out there that will that specialize in creating apps for churches. One of the things that I'm seeing and one of the things that I'm kind of recommending is that, you know, before churches, if they don't have apps, you know, before you go and invest that money, that you kind of look at, you know, maybe just doing a responsive mobile site. You know, it's I think it's kind of a way that people are going now. It's certainly a lot less expensive than the app. And some churches really don't even need the app, you know, for what you're trying to do. And so I would definitely recommend, you know, before you make that step, you know, start looking at some of the responsive mobile apps. And again, there are tons and tons of mobile vendors out there that will help you do everything from podcasting to streaming your service to making giving more convenient. So, you know, really kind of sit down and figure out what it is that you want to do. You know, take some small steps, get out there and make it happen.
Great counsel, great advice. And one last question. So I know when it comes to innovation, you're probably working on a bunch of secret projects, but maybe there's one project that you can share with us. What are you working on next?
Wow. You know, right now our app is we actually do use a vendor for our app right now. And I've been pleased with that vendor. But there are some things that that I like to see that they don't necessarily offer. And so we're working with some developers here locally to perhaps, you know, explore the possibility of creating our own app. One of the things that we are something I'm really excited about is, you know, one thing that we've recognized, at least at some of our locations, is that people are just busy. People are more busy now than they've ever been. You know, they're taking the kids to, you know, basketball practice and soccer practice and dance. and even the adults themselves, you know, going back for advanced degrees. And so people are really busy. And so we are really looking at right now, how can we take our discipleship process mobile? You know, how can we get sermons and teachings, resources, how we can put that in a mobile environment where people can still be discipled, where they can still get great teaching, even if they can't get inside the building. So that's something that we're working at. We're looking at, you know, a couple of different websites, you know, that are Blackboard-esque, you know, things that you might see in college. We're looking at a couple of mobile vendors that might do that, and maybe looking at just building it ourselves. But I think that's kind of our focus. In the next 12 months, we'd like to add a mobile, an online discipleship method here at the church.
Well, very good. Thanks for sharing that with us. Great having you on the Social Media Church podcast, Michael Hallman from New Direction Church.
Thanks so much, DJ. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael Hallman, for joining me here on the Social Media Church. And in the show notes, I've got a link to my list of pastors of innovation at different churches, a link for how you can connect to Michael Hallman, a link to the next Code for the Kingdom hackathon event in Austin, Texas, third week October. Would love to have you there. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it yet, but I did book my tickets for iMinistry 2013, so I'll be in Dallas. October 16 and 17 is the days I'll be there, but the conference itself runs from October 15th to the 17th. I'll go ahead and put a link in the show notes with a special discount code. If you scroll back through the previous episodes and get an extra $50 off on the iMinistry 2013. They're in Dallas, October 15th to the 17th. And the video that featured the Shemichael's Church's online church campus and how that really blessed people. One example of how it's blessed people. Anything else I think of as I wrap up the show notes for this episode. And I did want to share with you my Twitter chat story. Actually, it's not mine. It's the collection of people that Tim Samuel, CFO, that's his Twitter handle. He is the CFO, Chief Financial Officer at Bridgeway Community Church, one of the leading multi-ethnic churches in the country. They happen to be located in Columbia, Maryland, which is about halfway between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. And I got to visit that church about a month ago, and we connected in person as well. But a month prior to that, we just had a brief Twitter conversation. So from one tweet, it really blossomed into a robust conversation. And this is back in June. I just happened to tweet and shared a viral video that was titled, "What Kind of Asian Are You?" And we had watched that in one of my seminary classes as an illustration of cross-cultural misunderstandings and stereotypes. And Tim Samuel replied back, "Well, it's a funny video, but how do you have conversations across cultures and race?" And that question prompted a whole thread of tweets and conversations there in the open town square of Twitter about how to have meaningful and healthy conversations across culture and race. And it grew into a hashtag bridge building chat. And then Tim consolidated all of that into a short 2-minute video highlighting some of the insights that surfaced and snowballed from just that one tweet and interaction that grew into something very fruitful. And then we got to hear from one of the teens in their church at Bridgeway, and their youth leader actually showed that video to their youth group, probably 80 to 100 teens that really connected and engaged and saw firsthand the power of Twitter. So what started out as an innocent tweet of a viral video has turned into a robust conversation and a video that is helping people see, and I would love to have you take a look at it, of how Twitter can grow into a meaningful and insightful conversation across culture and race in this case, but also can be exactly the kind of platform where you can have meaningful spiritual conversations or evangelism or prayer or whatever else that goes along in this category of spiritual formation and ministry that we as church leaders are certainly most interested in. And I was prompted with a good question to in a conversation recently. You know, what is the goal? What do I want out of this social media church podcast? And the obvious question is, I would love to have more feedback. And I don't want to incentivize it with prizes or contests or bait it or beg for it. I'm just going to make a plain and clear ask. So I know there's a number of you who are listeners. Oh, and I do want to mention that I've noted a couple of different ways for those of you that are not on iTunes or don't want to install iTunes. So maybe you have an Android phone or something else or the desktop, and you would like to subscribe to not just my podcast, but other podcasts, particularly those that only have an iTunes link. Well, I've got an article that will show you exactly how to grab the actual RSS feed embedded in an iTunes link so that you can subscribe using any podcatcher, any smartphone, any RSS reader that you'd like, so you are fully in control without bloatware for your podcast subscription. And I certainly hope that Social Media Church is one of your subscriptions. And for those of you that do listen in and subscribe on iTunes, we'd love to have you add a rating and a review so that others can find this podcast and join the conversations that are continuing here well over a year and 3 months now. And I want to give a shout out to Daniel Andrew, who just found us through, I don't know what source, but he had a great tweet just acknowledging that, man, where have I been? I just found this podcast. Well, Daniel, welcome aboard. So glad you found us and wanted to give you a shout out and thank you for listening. Other ways you can give me feedback. Of course, you can call in on our listener line. The number is 9493-543216, and you can leave a voicemail, and I'd love to incorporate it into a future episode. Add your question, comment, stories, who you would like to hear from. Try to stump the host. I don't know what other great questions I can ask you to prompt you to call in, so just call in. Say hello, even. That would be awesome. Just takes a minute or even 30 seconds. I mean, if you're in a state where you're not allowed to text while driving, and I would recommend, even if you're in a state that allows that, don't do it. It's not safe. I can speak from firsthand testimony that it's not a safe thing to do. So make a phone call on a hands-free device and call into the Social Media Church podcast. The number again is 9493-543216. And of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook and Google+. Those are the three places I check most regularly. And I've got placeholders with some content on YouTube as well as Instagram and Pinterest. Oh, and because this was a Google+ Hangout on air, if you would like to see the raw video footage of my conversation with Shemichael, there's a link in the show notes for that. Well, that wraps up this episode number 59 of the Social Media Church podcast. My name is DJ Chuang. Stay connected with us at socialmediachurch.net. And until next time, we will stay connected online.